since Thark Nath Guru mentioned that, we'll just when did we come here?
2001,
when we actually opened. It was a little earlier. Anyway, I remember at that time I was still the GVC of the UK, and Thark Nath, I think it's Tribhuvanath held the festival?
Yeah.
Here in Swansea. And where?
Patti
Pavilion.
And at that time, Bill Birla told Thark Nath to start a center here. Because, of course, we're moving forward in Cardiff. Still moving forward. Just haven't quite arrived yet. But, I was a little hesitant about that. After all, by comparison to Cardiff, Swansea's a much smaller place. And Thark Nath said, no. He says, we've got good support. This man, Bir Bilwer, he's a real devotee, and he's a real supporter, and he said that he'll really help. So really on the basis of that, we also came here. We also purchased this property with his help.
Yeah, you've
got a mortgage with his help. And I used to stay quite often at their home. And so it wasn't just passing of someone, but actually he's probably as much responsible as anyone for this center being here. And he was a very wonderful person. He was a very, very kind person, very helpful. And when someone renders, Krishna says, Suchinam, Shimitam Gehi, someone renders devotional service to Krishna, then certainly Krishna never forgets that person and gives them promotion to a better destination. I think of better destinations than Swansea. and certainly a better destination than this world that we're living in. So, yeah, try to, if you didn't know, some of you who did, Satnam, the woman, the devotee seer, Premaras, and Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas are really integral for our advancement in spiritual life, both in this life and in the future. Okay, so since this evening we're going to chant Hare Krishna, can you do the 3-4 time, I think? Okay. We'll experiment a little and see if you can learn a new tune, which coincidentally is not an easy tune. Hold on, because we'll come from Sukkot. But it's very, very nice. And very, very fitting, meditative, and we do it in 3-4 time, we'll tell. Is where I have to pay attention. The first one is Hare. Gets pulled out four times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. And then Hare. And then the same thing with Hare Rama. And then the second part is sort of quite similar. Anyway, we'll first chant offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada and Panchatattva. Very nice to see them here again. The draft is still here also.
The draft.
Oh,
yeah.
So there's something inherited from Silver Smith. Before we start our experimental tune, just a few words about the Hare Krishna mantra. Somehow by the sort of arrangement of providence, kirtan has become a popular thing nowadays, and so people chant all kinds of mantras. Generally people who are very much into yoga or new age or other things that make them open to things other than just the traditional beliefs that we have here in the Western world. And chanting Hare Krishna also comes under the category of kirtan, or actually more specifically it's called sankirtan. Yagyai sankirtana praya yajanti shamedasa. As far as mantras are concerned, there are many mantras. Mantras are combination of sound, words which are made from perfect sound, and generally they're in the Sanskrit language, or they're always in the Sanskrit language. And the nature of that sound is that there's actually no difference between the word and the object. Just like this word microphone. Now this word microphone represents this object, but you could just as well call it a sandwich. And if that's what the person who invented the microphone called it, then, well, either we'd be eating it, or we'd be just calling it a sandwich. Because the word is quite arbitrary. It's just some arbitrary designation, but it doesn't really relate to the object itself. So the potency of mantras, and of course there are different types of mantras, but the spiritual mantras is that the word is actually eternally connected to an object. And in one sense, is the sound form of an object. So if the word microphone was a mantra, then actually that word microphone would be a sound representation of this microphone, and wherever you went in the universe, everyone would call this object a microphone. Because if you go to Mars, they may call it something else. But they would call it the same thing because it's a universal sound, universal principle. The Hare Krishna mantra is even something that's a little more deeper or esoteric in terms of its understanding, in that it is the form, the sound form of God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the word Krishna is as much the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna is. It's not an arbitrary name. It's eternally connected with Krishna, and it has the same potencies. So, Nijasarva Shaktis, all the Shakti, all the potencies of God are within the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, therefore it's called a Mahamantra. So, whereas you can chant different mantras, they have different, just like if you chant microphone, 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 you don't have such a bright future. You may have a loud future, but you won't have a bright future. And there are, of course, many different mantras in Vedas, and they have different purposes, and they indicate or represent different persons. Some mantras indicate Lord Vishnu, others Lord Shiva, others Durga, and so on. And of course it's not that all mantras are the same thing. So just like if I say microphone, sandwich, floor, ceiling, then I'm indicating different things, and usually I'm indicating different things because I'm going to get a different result. So when I say I'm going to walk on the floor, that's a progressive concept. If I say I'm going to walk on the microphone, then you have to be an acrobat to do something like that. So similarly, mantras are both a process, and also they represent an end. So yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam, or rather jyajutamam prapadyate, according to a specific type of mantra, it empowers a certain process, and that process gives a certain end. Just like if microphone was actually the eternal identity of this object, then when I say the word microphone, it invokes this object, and the purpose of it is to transmit sound, to amplify sound. So similarly, for instance, when we chant some type of mantra, when we chant mantra, say, to some demigod, some deva, then we're invoking that deva, and ultimately we are making a connection with them for whatever particular benefit that they can give. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we're invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then ultimately, yam yam bhapi swaram bhavam, we are able to make a connection with Him, and that is really the point of human form of life, to reconnect again with the Supreme Lord, because we're disconnected. We're very disconnected. In order to reestablish that connection, the easiest way to reestablish a connection with anyone is to say their name. So I may want to communicate with Prema Ras, but I've got to I need to use sound to communicate with them, unless we become telepathic, but that's another form of sound. That's just a subtler form of sound. So if I want to get someone's attention, I want to say, Satnam, what do you think about this? Then I get his attention. So similarly, when we want to attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, then we do so by calling upon him. And by calling upon him, then we're able to communicate. And of course, ultimately, that communication has a particular purpose. It is to really deliver us from this very unpleasant situation we find ourselves in. And that situation is called illusion. We're in an illusion with this body, or even a worse illusion, that we're living in Swansea, part of your Welshman. These things have nothing really to do with reality, or that we're male or female, or that we're an engineer or a lawyer, or we have some kind of obligation or duty in this world. It's a illusion that it's wiped out when you lose your body. There's no more body, there's no more job, there's no more profession, there's no more family, there's no more wealth. Everything's gone. It's gone because it was never there. It was just the illusion that it was there. But what is really there is our eternal identity, that we're spiritual entities, we're not these material entities. And unless we come to this realization, which is really the ABC of spiritual life, this is the first thing that Krishna talks about in Bhagavad Gita, Natayivaham, Jatunasam, Natvamneme, Janaripam, Nachayvan, Vabhishyama, Sarvi, Vayam, Taparam, Dehino, Svindita, Dehi. This is the first thing. Well, if you don't know you're not this body, then at least by Vedic culture, or the original culture of this world, and also of India, one's not considered to be a human being. Human being starts at that platform, where at least we have an academic and an intellectual understanding and acceptance of the fact that I'm not this body, and therefore I don't live as if I'm this body. I live in a different way. Well, the world that we live in, and that includes India, unfortunately, at the present time, everyone's living as if they're this body. And therefore, we have chaos. The chaos with plagues, the chaos with wars, the chaos with financial situation, because we are wrongly situated and we have a misidentification. If you don't know who you are, then you have problems. Generally, people go to a psychiatrist when they don't know who they are. So, of course, that type of mental adjustment, or that type of searching, well, I really need to, I'm confused about who I am. I think I'm Napoleon, or maybe I'm Jesus Christ. But that's just as much of an illusion as thinking that I'm somebody else. Rather, the real enlightenment comes when I recognize that I'm someone much more subtle, much more defined, much more permanent than this body. I'm a spiritual entity, and that spiritual entity also happens to be a servant of God. And any other conception, that's also called illusion. Sometimes we think that we're servant of our country, or we're servant of our senses, or we have some type of other duty, or that we're nobody's servant, and that we just want to be liberated. But none of these things are reality. Whether we accept it or not, that's another thing. And this is the function of our Krishna consciousness movement, is to really give a clear picture to people of who they are. So you could say, in that sense, this is a psychiatric clinic. that we don't approach it from the psychological point of view, we actually approach it from the spiritual point of view, so that people can understand really who they are. But because otherwise, if you don't know who you are, then you're nuts. Some people think that they're a dog and they go running around on four legs. I mean, animals think that they're dogs. They're not dogs either. They're just an intact body, and other people run around on two legs. Or maybe last night they were also running around. We got here on the plane. I thought the plane was going to be empty. We get on the plane at 8 o'clock in the morning on January the 1st. It was full. As soon as we got on that plane, we were the only... No, actually, I was the only person who was awake. Everyone else, I don't know, 150 passengers, they were all asleep because they just sort of managed to crawl to the airport and crawl in their seats, and I was in until we hit London. So yes, it's a matter of really waking up, or question of whether we really want to wake up. And the best way to wake up is... or the only way to wake up is actually to chant Krishna's holy name. So, Harinama Iva Kivalam, Nasti Iva Nasti. There's no, it's repeated in Veda, Nasti Iva Nasti Iva Nasti. There's no other way, there's no other mantra, nothing else is going to work. The only thing that's going to wake up is chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. Okay, Hare Krishna. So now I'll just go back again to that tune. Most of you are used to chanting Hare Krishna.